bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam.
We all chair dance when this kicks
in. Well, yeah, this is a song that's built for chair dancing.
Although you don't.
I try to keep it in check. Some days I can, some days I can't.
Billy, you gotta let your hair down.
Hold on.
Oh, I love your hair. It's luxurious.
Well, a balsam.
Wow.
Actually, I use Martin balsam on my hair. It's like Well, a balsam, but it's a little more serious. You have an interesting theory about Kevin, our producer. You think that he's about to have a child, huh?
I don't know. You've become very parental with me. We have to do a switch because when the stream split,
yeah,
we're in control up here. Mm-hmm. And usually I'm ready. Mm-hmm. If I'm not, then you hear some other music.
Mm-hmm. For a second or two.
I'd say it's a 50-50.
If I'm here ready looking at it, I'm usually okay. But lately he's been, are you ready? Are you good to go?
Parental.
Yeah.
I'm just noticing I often call you guys to my, associates, my kids,
Yeah.
I'll check with the kids.
Yeah.
You guys are my sweet little babies.
Thank you, Kevin.
Can I tell you, I kind of like someone taking care of me for a change.
It's a nice feeling, isn't it?
Well, I just feel like, I have to organize a lot of things at home with two teenage boys and a husband.
Yeah.
So it's nice when someone looks out for me.
It's a nice change of pace.
I think you walk the line here because you often say the opposite about us as well, like that we also act like your children.
Well, you do. So it's nice to see you stand up and grow up and act like an adult for once.
Every once in a while.
Kevin, you're part of a generation that is often, and I believe, incorrectly labeled as a bunch of lazy people. And
Kevin is the last thing from lazy.
Not a lazy bone in his body.
Away from work, I try to be.
But see, away from work is none of anybody's business.
Yeah. Here at work, you get it done.
TCOB.
Yeah, TCOB, Wendy.
Although,
yogurt.
That's TCBY, but close enough.
Close.
You know how he was into Magic the Gathering?
Yeah, until he made a startling announcement.
Yeah, I grew up.
See, look, what's happening to our little Kevin?
Well.
Although, why did I see a piece of paper in your work folder that had something to do with Dungeons and Dragons?
Well, why do I see 64-sided dice sometimes on your desk?
Well, I don't want to break you guys' hearts, but news is out that Fade is broken up.
This is
your band.
Wait a minute. Your band is breaking up?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Why?
They're moving. People are moving.
Because of Yoko Ono?
Yeah, because of Yoko. She came in and ruined everything. No, our keyboard player moved to Denver, and we're just kind of in flux at the moment.
Oh, no.
So I'm trying to...
F-L-U-U-X?
Yeah, flux, right.
This Fade is spelled F-A-A-D.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
So I'm looking for something else.
Explain it.
Looking for something else to occupy my time once a week, because I used to have that band practice.
Right.
And so now I'm thinking, what better way than maybe a little Dungeons and Dragons?
So you gave up on Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, I'm too old for that.
But you're thinking maybe Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, I'm looking for a more encompassing experience.
Oh.
I don't know if you're basing it which one's cooler. I would go Magic the Gathering. Wouldn't you?
Maybe a little bit cooler.
A tough gauge.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Well,
first of all, I'm very sorry to hear about your band breaking up. I'm devastated. That's awful.
On the bright side, for the first time in probably 6 or 7 years, I have all my music gear, much to Sarah's chagrin, in one place in our apartment. It's great.
Right.
Normally it's spread out all over the place.
That's
Michael Mack, my son, wants to start a band. He needs a bass player.
Send him on by. We can make some magic happen. I'm not talking about that.
No, because Michael's 18 and played Magic the Gathering and said it was extremely boring.
Oh.
Well, that's the other thing, is a game of magic sometimes can take... That's what kind of turned me off to it. It can take like 3 to 4 hours, and if you get knocked out within 30 minutes, well, then you sit there for 3.5 hours. Ugh. So that gets to be a...
That's when you throw yourself on the game map or whatever and mess it up so you have to start over.
My dear, there's no game map in Magic. Come on.
Come on.
Don't be silly.
I didn't know that.
Really?
You just play it on a tabletop. It's like playing cards. That's what I always say. We're playing cards.
Did you make...
That's what I always say. I'm playing cards.
Yeah. Did you make any effort to keep the band together? Did you say, guys, we've been in this for too long to just let distance get in our way?
Well, it's tough. We've talked about it. I don't know. We kind of like tried something out with another guy, but I don't
think that didn't work.
So I think there's like consolidating of some of the guys into another project, and I'm actually kind of excited to have all my music gear at home for the first time.
Yeah,
in a long time,
but no outlet by it. Which to play it.
I'll play it myself, and I can play it at home.
I guess. Yeah.
Isn't it hard to find bandmates that like the same thing? That's Michael's problem. He's 18.
Yeah.
He likes like old blues and classic rock and folk, and not many 18-year-olds do.
Yeah.
So it's hard finding people who have the same.
I often equate it to like a relationship. You know,
it is like
it is totally, or you know, like I'm sure it's the same way with like an improv group or whatever. You know,
sure.
You're all kind of doing it's the same mindset, but you have to find somebody that you just, you know, some guys can be the most talented musicians in the world, and then you get together and it just doesn't gel.
Yeah,
but then
right.
There's other guys that you just click with. You know,
well, almost every band I've ever heard of though doesn't get along.
I've
right?
not really heard that.
You've never heard that?
I mean, yeah,
just creative differences.
Yeah, well, yeah, but, I mean, you and I have creative differences.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
like each other. Well, I like you. I can't speak for you.
Yeah.
But I know, like, the Mick Jagger, Keith Richards thing,
right.
that's proven in everything.
Right.
They don't, you know, they take separate limos.
Yeah.
David Lee Roth, of course, and Sammy Hagar
always
having issues
fighting.
With the Van Halens.
Yeah.
And then they make up, and then they break up.
But it's got to be tough because everybody's vision, and I've
that's
never
it.
Been in a band,
no,
but your
it,
vision
precisely.
Of what you're doing now and where you want to be in 3 years or 5 years or 10 years, everybody's got a different idea.
Well, to me, it's more so like your vision for what this song is doing, and that, because it's really cool when, it's two sides of the coin. It's really cool when you have a vision for a song and then you nail that, and
right.
it's exactly what you wanted.
Right.
But playing in a band, other influences come in, and then that's kind of also cool that it's not what you envisioned, but it's something else totally cool that we all put together.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And
I'm
it
sure.
broadens your horizons.
Yeah, but at the same time, it can be stressful. Like, I played in a band with two brothers for a long time, and there were times I would just have to step back and let them duke it out over stuff, and, you know, it's, yeah, it's a fine line to
was
walk.
Was it the Everly Brothers?
No, it was the Rupp Brothers,
oh,
not hockey-related.
Those guys.
Yeah.
I'm curious as to why you were, Fade was mainly an instrumental band.
Yeah.
No one could sing?
Like we didn't have the ability to sing? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, because it just I don't know very many instrumental bands.
I think it was a conscious effort to be instrumental.
I guess you don't know Mannheim Steamroller, Wendy.
Chicago actually has a very healthy instrumental music scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just very unique and rare to me,
right,
I got to tell you.
Normally, there's always like infighting in a band as to who's going to be the lead vocalist
yeah,
and stuff,
kinda,
but you eliminated that
yeah,
problem.
And it also, like, as a you know musician, like an instrumentalist, it gives you some more freedom to do whatever the heck you want, because when you're trying to, you know, okay, here comes the verse, well, we got to dumb things down a little bit so the vocalist can take the lead.
Right.
You don't have to do that in an instrumental group.
So now you play your verse.
Exactly. You play the lead. So that's kind of like what Brian, the guy that's moving to Denver, he was the pianist, and he was super talented. And so he would kind of take the lead a lot of times.
Will you feel bad if he forms another band?
No.
You wouldn't at all?
No.
I would.
I'm sure we're all going to
I'm not even in your band, and I would feel bad if he did.
Poor Brian. Yeah, you'd feel...
No,
not poor Brian, you'd be mad at him.
Right,
I'd
be furious.
It's no big deal. Life happens. It's cool.
Right.
No big deal.
Right.
No pressure.
Did you ever, like, have a guy in the band and everybody else in the band goes, Mark, ugh. Like, was there ever a guy in the band that everybody's just like, I can't believe we got this guy.
Careful.
We thought he'd be good.
Not in Fade. Fade was cool, and it gelled. But we did have a guy in an old band, in Ormond Lang. I've had a history of strange band names.
Ormond Lang, I like that.
Ormond Lang, yeah. But yeah, that was with the band with the two brothers, and one of the brothers was a bit unruly at times. So,
oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Because I've been in improv groups, and this is a rule, this is a steadfast rule for improv groups. There's always one guy or girl in the group that's not good.
Not good or a problem? Like, causes issues?
More not good.
Really?
Yeah. There's always just one person that everybody goes,
so,
look, we tried Debbie. She's always
really?
Facing the wrong way.
Do you have to have a conversation? Like, do you have to tell them that? That's got to be tough.
No, just talk behind your back.
It's better to talk behind.
No, it isn't. I didn't say that.
It's the craziest thing, because you go, well, there's only six people in the group. Why wouldn't we have six good people, but there's always one? That's why, with Kids in the Hall, I mean, this is a running joke that only you and I get, but I love Kids in the Hall. Those guys are hysterical.
Agreed.
And we've had three of the five of them in, And when I said the first time we had Scott from the group, Scott Thompson, and I go, every improv group has a weak link. Who's yours? And he goes, oh, Kevin McDonald is by far our weakest link. And we laughed because you wouldn't sell out a guy in your group.
Right.
And then we had on another guy.
Dave Foley.
And I said, hey, is there anyone in your group that shouldn't be in the group? They're not very good. And he goes, Kevin McDonald probably shouldn't be in the group. He's not very good. And again, we laughed. And then we had Kevin on, and we told him that story.
Well, we asked him.
Right. We said, who would they say would be the weak? And he goes, oh, they'd say me. And they did.
That was like a 20-year joke that
I know.
That played out in front of us only, really.
Right, right.
I loved it.
But Kevin McDonald is really funny.
Yeah.
They're all funny. But for the most part, I have found in my experiences with improv groups, there's always one person you go, why? Oh. And sometimes I'm that guy.
No. Why don't you help that person who's not that good?
That's not his job, though.
No,
like, same thing,
in
a, you know, you expect when you're coming to a band or an improv group or whatever, you're expecting a certain level of...
Right. Professionalism.
Sure. Right.
Right.
What word?
Professionalism.
Oh, it sounded weird coming from you.
I had to look it up to see if that was right. What does this mean? Professionalism? All right, say that.
There's a weak link in everything, though. You watch SNL, there are some people that are better than others.
Yeah. But they kind of perpetrate that. Like, they, even though they say we're not, they do this at Second City, too. We're not looking for stars. We're not looking for stand-up. We want
ensemble.
People that blend in. But then once they find somebody that's above and beyond that, they promote that. They go, look, we got somebody who's just a superstar. So Saturday Night Live does that. Second City does that. You got to find somebody that just is at the next level. It makes everybody better.
You make me want to be a better man. Wait a minute.
Thank you. I don't know if that's true or not. Judy, Kevin's band is breaking up.
True.
That should be your top headline.
The band Fade is breaking up.
It's called Fade?
F-A-A-D-E.
Is it fading away, Kevin?
Oh, yeah.
That's your headline.
Right there. Look at you, Perry White.
She is not the weakest link in the newsroom, I'll tell you that.
No.
We're
going to do news.
And the chain that keeps it together.
And then Rich Lankoff will join us. I heard he's breaking up.
Somebody
tell me, yeah, that Rich Lankoff is breaking up with himself. I hope that's not true. So stick around. We've got a lot more. If you're just joining us on VH1's Behind the Music, we did the music of Fade. Fade is faded. All right, so stick around. A lot more coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.
Bill, can you do this? I'm doing something.
Yes.
Kevin, just a little bit busy right now.
We wanted to pay tribute to the band Fade. Can we play just a little bit?
Am I doing that now?
Yeah, just a little bit of Fade.
We'll taste. Hold on here.
Is that all right? Only the hits, none of the new stuff. All right. This a lot. I am very sad that this is no longer going to be. This is Kevin's band Fade, who, if you're just joining us, we've learned is breaking up after how many years together, Kevin?
Like three.
3 years together.
What do you play, Kevin?
I play bass and guitar.
Does anyone sing?
No.
No,
it's
an
vocals.
Instrumental.
Oh,
that's
instrumental.
What I said. Can't anyone sing?
Adios,
that
it's you know?
Instrumental,
they all. Every guy in Fade plays the triangle, too. Did you know that? It's the only band with five triangle players. Wait, Rich, we're not getting you on it. Go ahead.
The keytar is my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Keytar
yep.
player?
So no more...
we don't have one of those.
No,
yeah.
No more Fade.
Do you play, Rich? We can get you in.
I do. I play the sitar.
Do you? The Ravi Shankar sitar?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
You play the sitar?
Only to my very good friends.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Next time.
Wow. Judy, thanks so much.
Oh, Fade sounds really good here.
This is a Clash one.
I know who this is.
Rich Lankoff is here. Attorney, co-host of Legal Face-Off, and sitar player, Rich Lankoff. Hi, Rich.
Sitar, keytar, the double neck guitar, that's also one of my favorites.
You have one of those?
I play the arcade version,
yeah.
The Wii version only.
Yeah.
That's got
fun.
No musical ability at all.
For
like Guitar Hero?
Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
But the double neck guitar, Kevin, you know the...
My son has one.
Staple of every 80s rock band. Because
mm-hmm.
one neck is not enough to jam. You got to have two necks. Yeah.
Just saw Don Felder doing a double neck guitar jam of Hotel California with Sammy Hagar on his new show, like Back Roads with Sammy or something like that. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
Two different sounds on, one body.
Oh, right. Yeah, Don Felder I don't know if you could legally use the word Hotel California, though, because they've had many legal disputes with the Eagles.
For ownership?
That's a whole other discussion.
Well, yeah. He was playing it and singing the lyrics.
Bob Hanley was probably on the phone with his lawyer.
Rich, we bring you on from time to time to discuss the major court cases going on in the country, the more high-profile cases. And one of them, and this is such a peculiar case, has to do with tennis star Venus Williams and a horrible, horrible car accident in which a man was killed.
Yeah, Venus Williams on June 9th was involved in a car accident in Palm Beach Gardens.
Florida?
In Florida.
Yeah.
Initially, it was suspected that she was at fault. It turns out that just recently it was discovered after reviewing the video evidence that she was not at fault. In fact, that she might have been the victim of the car crash. The driver, who is now suing her, actually entered the intersection.
I think the driver's wife, right? The driver was killed.
Yeah, the driver's wife had a green light, but, you know, traffic laws are such that you shouldn't enter it if there's a car that's already entered it. So Venus had entered the intersection legally, and this other car hit Venus's, and in the process, as you mentioned, someone unfortunately died. So initially, it appeared as though Venus might have been at fault criminally. It's now been, after an investigation, revealed that she is not. There is still a wrongful death suit, a civil suit.
That still happens,
that,
huh?
You know,
it's
only June 9th, right? And they've already filed suit. Mm. So they filed suit civilly, and the question now is whether the fact that she's been exonerated criminally will get her off the hook civilly. The answer is it probably will. It's pretty good evidence that to show in the civil case that she wasn't charged criminally. But it's not the only story. There's different standards of proof in a civil case versus a criminal case, as you know. But at least from the criminal perspective, Venus will not suffer any or is not exposed to any charges.
I imagine she feels terrible about it. I can't imagine killing someone in an accident. Do you automatically get charged for their death, even if it's like if it's just an accident?
Not necessarily. If it's just an accident and the police determine that no one is at fault, then no citation would be issued. In this case, there was no citation initially issued, but the police investigated, as you know they should have done, and it takes a little time. In this case, again, after looking at the video mostly, they determined that she was not there's not enough to charge her criminally. Again, that doesn't extinguish the family's right to sue her civilly. Under a negligence theory, a wrongful death theory, which they have, they likely won't just drop the civil case because of the criminal outcome. As we know, lawyers will pursue cases frequently, without a lot of justification. In this case, I think they will still pursue the civil case because she's obviously, you know, got a lot of resources. She's very deep pocketed.
Yeah.
But the chances of them prevailing civilly are a lot, weaker now than had she been charged criminally.
So an attorney could take that into account when they're making a decision as to whether or not to file another lawsuit. They could say, this is a person who doesn't have a lot of money. Why would we even bother? But with somebody like this, you go, there's a lot of cash to be had
if
we win this.
Of course.
That's terrible.
Brand implications alone of Venus Williams having to face a wrongful death suit in and of itself will likely lead her to settle the case. That's the unfortunate reality, of our society, is that even defendants who are not guilty or not responsible civilly pay all the time.
Yeah.
In this case, it's likely that Venus Williams, although she has come out and asserted her innocence, it's likely that she will settle fairly quickly. That's what celebrities do frequently.
Although, to get it out of the news.
Correct.
Right?
But to your point, Bill, yeah, the fact that she is wealthy plays a huge factor. You're likely not going to pursue a lawsuit against someone who has no resources to pay it, right?
Right.
Even though they might be at fault, if you can't recover because they don't have the money, then it's really not worth the time.
But realistically, the money comes from an insurance company. It doesn't come from the person themselves. It's your insurance company that takes the big hit on this, right?
Well, not in a wrongful death type of lawsuit. There's no coverage for that. If it was purely a car accident case, then civilly, yes, you would have insurance for it. But they're pursuing her under a wrongful death theory, so that would come out of her own pocket directly.
Saying she's a negligent driver. But her car, remind me, because I believe her car was not actually moving during this, right? She was out in an intersection.
Exactly.
The other car struck her car.
Yeah, she was stationary. I mean, like I said earlier on, if she was injured, if Venus was injured in the car accident, she would have a pretty good case race against the other driver for entering the intersection, even though she had the green light, for entering the intersection while this other car was stationary. The rules of the road are such that, you know, she would have been at fault in that scenario.
Yeah.
You know, I think about them perhaps moving forward with this because it is Venus Williams and she does have a lot of money. If it was someone who didn't have money, you say a lot of times that doesn't happen. It gets me thinking completely off track here, but somebody going through a divorce and the divorce is final, say the husband's supposed to give some child support. If there is no money, if that guy is not working, how do they get money? How do you get blood out of a turnip?
That's ultimately, you know, the issue with child support frequently with a lot of defendants is that there's, you know, they're called judgment proof in many respects, because even though you might have a judgment like child support or in this case a civil liability, they just don't have the money to pay it. You know, child support laws are stronger or are given larger priorities than other situations for obvious reasons, right? You want people to pay their child support. And, you know, they're stronger because often people who are going through divorce hide their assets, right? We all know that. So that's why child support recovery attempts have to be a lot stronger. But sure, to your point, if there's no money, it's tough to recover.
And like with OJ, when he would in the civil trial, he owes the Goldmans a lot of money, but then he claims he doesn't have it, but he's got to have it somewhere.
He's got some money, you know, in Florida where he lives or where he would live, where he lived before and where he's expected to live if he's released. Certain assets like your real property are, not recoverable, as assets. So he does have some, assets. I'm sure that he has some money somewhere. You know, people, especially.
He's OJ, for gosh sakes.
Yeah, he's OJ. I mean, he's skilled at hiding things. We know that, right? So. people with assets and with lots of financial resources have the ability to hide it. That's the reality of the world.
Did you see why Kato Kaelin was in the news last week?
No. What?
At Milwaukee, at Brewers games, they do the same thing they do at Blackhawks games, which is a split-the-pot drawing. And the winner in Milwaukee was Kato Kaelin. He won the split-the-pot drawing in Milwaukee.
Is that the luckiest guy ever?
You could make that argument.
I mean, it hasn't helped him too much,
no,
but it did make
lot.
Him a household name.
Yeah.
And then he wins the split. That's so weird. Yeah. I would have felt dirty.
Yeah. Yep. Right. Could you not say my name? I would do that. Just say a guy.
Don't Dano
say,
Aylin.
Right. It's not me. Can we talk a little bit about the Charlie Gard case?
Yes, we covered this on Legal Face-Off earlier this week. You know, breaking news today is that the court
refresh
in London,
me on the whole Charlie Gard thing.
Yeah, so Charlie Gard is the baby, 11-month-old in London, whose parents have been fighting to get him treatment, largely experimental treatment that would hopefully save his life. He was born with a condition that only 19 people in the world suffer from. It's a very, very rare condition that affects the kidneys and lungs and basically has not allowed this baby to breathe on his own without the help of a machine since he was born. Obviously, a huge ordeal for the parents. They've been in the hospital in London since he was born. And the hospital has basically said there's nothing more we can do for him treatment-wise, and he should be taken off the breathing apparatus. Well, obviously the parents want to try some experimental treatment that is available in the United States. President Trump, as you mentioned earlier, tweeted a couple weeks ago that the U.S. would be delighted, in his words, to have them over.
And have offered to do this for free, right?
Yeah, the money is, a lot of people thought this was a money thing. The money is really not an issue. Even the court in London said that, you know, the resources aren't an issue. There's financial resources there. But what they've said is that medically, scientifically, there's just not enough support to keep this battle ongoing. So,
what do they have to lose, though, if this is experimental? Experiments sometimes end badly. Sometimes they pave the way for other things in the future. I mean, I don't see what the problem is.
Agree 100%. Of course, you know, if there's any sliver of chance, I mean, if you were in the parents' shoes and there was even a, you know, minuscule chance of 1%, you would try it. Now, it turns out that today we heard testimony from an expert in the United States who said that there's as great as a 10% chance. He testified by video conference that this treatment will work. It's definitely experimental, but he said it's definitely worth a shot. The judge said that if there is any evidence that this treatment would work, then he would reverse the prior court's ruling. So there's a chance, I think, given today's results or hearings, there's a greater chance than there was before. So we'll see. But I agree with you. Why wouldn't you take a shot at this, especially, you know, if it doesn't work in this case? New treatments are developed by experimenting, right? And if it doesn't work, unfortunately, with this young boy, maybe it'll work the next time.
And is it a problem with this specific hospital? Because why couldn't you just, you know, check your child out of the hospital?
Yeah, this hospital actually is called the best children's hospital in England. So I think they've got the science behind them. Obviously, they're not trying this experimental treatment that is available in the U.S. But yeah, they petitioned the court to not allow the parents to remove the child. Okay. They argue that it was in the best interest of the child to terminate
the child to kill them.
Which doesn't make much sense. The argument was that he was in a lot of pain, that continuing to have him on this apparatus would just prolong his pain and suffering. That was at least the argument by the hospital. The parents are obviously arguing that, hey, if there's any chance, let's try it.
Right.
Which we could all, I think, understand.
Horrible. I hope this gets fixed. It's terrible. We talked a little bit downstairs earlier with Dean Richards about Shia LaBeouf, who has had a series of run-ins with the law over the years. Well, the other day he got into more trouble. He got arrested again, and things have really gotten bad for him.
Over the weekend in Savannah, where he was filming a movie.
And he's a darn good actor.
Yeah, he is.
I feel very sorry for him.
Yeah, the movie is called, by the way, The Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
It's right up your alley, Bill.
Bill.
I do love peanut butter.
And falcons. That's great. I'm
crazy about falcons.
yeah, he was, I guess, soliciting cigarettes from people in a drunken state and talked to one officer.
North Carolina is a drunken state? Am I hearing
No.
Georgia.
Oh, Georgia's a drunken state?
He was in a drunken state.
Oh. And he wanted a smoke. I could see it.
Wanted a smoke, trying to bum a cigarette off an officer, and then unleashed a verbal assault, calling the police cowards, pirates, slimy. We've since seen the video released. Not a great look for Shia. He has today issued a statement that he's deeply apologetic to the police, that he continues to battle his, you know, alcoholic demons, and that he's seeking treatment for it. But yeah, not a lot of good defense to it. I think the police in the video, you know, showed remarkable restraint.
He also got very racist.
He did.
Not only belligerent, but said some horribly racist things about which police officers would end up in hell because of their skin color. Horrible.
Yeah, not good stuff.
And he apologized for it, and I've never done anything like that, but I may have been overserved at some time where, like, the next day...
But you're not the peanut butter falcon.
No. But, you know, the next day you call, and you're, like, you know, ashamed of your behavior, and, you know, it sounds like this is happening frequently with him.
Yeah, it's not the first case. He's been arrested before. He was arrested for fighting with an anti-Trump demonstrator in January. You know, too bad, because I agree with you. He's not, you know, he's a pretty good actor. We were debating on our show earlier this week our favorite Shia LaBeouf movie.
Holes.
That's what Sam Panayanovich said.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
I did not see that.
It was really good.
I'm a big fan of Disturbia.
Oh, Disturbia is a close second.
Not a bad movie. Sort of a Rear Window update.
Yeah.
Where he's
that's a pretty good movie. He's very good in that.
Yeah.
But now he also has a history. He's done this at least two and maybe three or four times.
Right.
Where he makes a movie and then talks about how horrible the movie is. Which, if you're the PR firm behind a movie, he did that with the last Indiana Jones movie. He made this movie, and then as soon as he was done filming it, he goes, ugh, what a piece of junk this thing is. I don't know why anybody has any interest in seeing this.
Which, in fairness,
he was kind of right.
He kind of was right.
Right.
The Temple of the Crystal Skull was
the Kingdom
of the Crystal Skull. But, yeah, it's amazing. He keeps getting employed, right? People keep hiring.
Remember what other actor was like this at one point and now is like one of the top-selling actors of all time?
Is that Robert Downey you're referring to?
Yeah.
And I mean, he had some
problematic
sleeping troubles in other people's bed. You know, woke up naked in someone's bed.
Nobody would insure him.
Right.
You know, you got to have somebody underwrite your movie, and nobody would insure him for a while.
Why doesn't he reach out to Shia LaBeouf? And I'm not being funny
here. Not a
bad
move.
If you're listening, Robert Downey, help Shia LaBeouf.
So you're saying that Iron Man and the Peanut Butter Falcon should team up, Wendy? Is that your idea?
Yeah, might be I like a, that. Might be the next supervillain. Shia LaBeouf, by the way, I forgot my thought, but he continues to be employed. And actually, my thought was he's playing John McEnroe in an upcoming movie about McEnroe and Bjorn Borg.
He's just doing method acting. He's just researching the role. That's what he's
doing. And McEnroe said, I was listening to another podcast, McEnroe said that as crazy as LaBeouf is, he's the perfect actor to play John McEnroe.
He probably is. Yeah. He probably is. So what happens with him now?
And rehab.
I guess you have to go to rehab, but is he genuinely sorry, or is it because this thing is on tape and he knows that this could be the end of his film
career?
Did
you hear the tape Pete McMurray played this morning?
I mean,
it sounds so genuine. Although, again, he's a good actor. Maybe he's got us bamboozled. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the quick work of, you know, his publicist. I'm not sure, you know, who knows what's in his head, but you could be assured that his team was pretty quick in responding with that statement. You know, what's next is, hopefully he sobers up. Hopefully he doesn't get into legal trouble.
Kill himself somehow.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely, you know, on that track seemingly. You know, this was a relatively minor incident. You know, it got a lot of attention because of who he is. But,
sure.
You know, public drunkenness is a routine matter. He was released on $7,000 bond. So not a huge situation, but obviously given who it is and the fact that, you know, it's blown up now on the internet, makes it a lot bigger. But yeah, hopefully he gets his life together. People continue to employ him, so he's got that.
Can I ask some public drunkenness questions?
This is for future.
No,
just for future
I'm just
reference.
Thinking about
hypothetically,
it.
Right.
You know,
I have a friend named Bendy.
Shut up. There has been some times that maybe I have had a few, and I walk home from the neighbor's house, and then would take the dog out for a walk, and maybe I'm zigzagging a little down the sidewalk. If I'm not hurting anybody, could I be arrested for public drunkenness?
That's called DWD, drunken while dog walking.
Seriously,
your dog has a cause of action against you for. Yep. Putting him or her in danger. No, the fact that you're not, I think your question goes to, well, I'm not behind a wheel, I'm not operating machinery, so what's the big deal? You know, there is public drunkenness. He was, you know, Shia LaBeouf was not driving, so he was arrested for.
But he was,
you know,
loud and saying terrible things.
Talking while intoxicated, exactly. Yeah. You know, there's a whole array of charges that the police have to deal with these kind of things. I mean, you've heard of disturbing the peace, obviously, public drunkenness. You know, basically, if you're out there loud, acting like an idiot, the police will find a variety of charges to
lewd and lascivious behavior.
There you go.
That's already happened to me.
Yes.
But the walking the dog, I'm just saying maybe, and it hasn't been recently, maybe last summer, but a little zigzag while I was walking, and I was thinking, this is probably not good. But if I'm not hurting anyone and not making a disturbance,
I think you're okay. I mean, the good news is the police generally have better things to do than deal with, you know, the dog walkers who've had a couple too many. But yeah, I mean, you know, the fact is you're out in a public way, you're intoxicated, that, you know, that could technically be chargeable, but
Rich, Wendy was zigzagging so much that the dog had to take a Dramamine. That's never a good
thing. The dog made a canine arrest.
Like you see girls when we were in Nashville last summer, there were several bachelorette parties going on, and these girls could barely walk out of a bar, and then when they're in the street, they're crazy loud. I mean, technically, could they get a... They wouldn't, probably.
But the police are not going to do anything, right? Because, you know, that's Nashville, that's New Orleans, that's the way things are, and, you know, that's just the culture, but... Hey, if it's 4 a.m. and they're doing that and, you know, suddenly it's a little more conspicuous, then, you know,
In and out of traffic disrupting something.
Then you got a problem. You got a problem. This was not on the docket of things to discuss, and I know it's not your specialty, but we're just curious because Wendy and I have discussed this off the air a couple of times. With everything that's going on with Donald Trump Jr.
Trump is always my specialty, by the way.
Is it? Okay.
It's the lead on every legal face-off.
Is it? All right.
Of course, yeah.
Perfect.
I'm glad you brought this up. Go ahead.
All right. We know now that there's been discussions between Donald Jr. and the Russians where they're looking for dirt on Hillary Clinton. So as I'm watching all the shows on MSNBC and on CNN and on Fox, everybody keeps saying this. Well, what exactly did he do that's illegal? That this is just a strategy when you're in the game of politics and you're looking for dirt on somebody. You meet with people and you try to find stuff that'll help you win. And that's what he was doing. It's not illegal. So is it illegal to meet with Russians and say, hey, what do you got on this woman? Because my dad's trying to beat her in an election.
Great question. And the term we're hearing constantly is collusion, right? That they were colluding. Now, that's a political term. That's not a legal term. There's nothing in the criminal code that says you can't collude. What you cannot do is conspire, right? That's the legal,
And what's the difference between the two?
Well, the difference is, collusion, he could have met with them. But if you conspire to, commit fraud, for example, or if you conspire in this case to exchange information for political gain, that very well could be, the legal and criminal definition of conspiracy. It's a fine line, admittedly, but that's the real, trouble that the Trumps may be in. And it seems from all accounts that this conversation where they agreed seemingly to trade this information with a foreign government, that could be conspiracy. So I think legal experts are differing on this because a lot of this is brand new, but I definitely think that there's, enough there to prove conspiracy.
And Vice President Mike Pence kind of distancing himself from this, which I have to be honest with you, I'm surprised I haven't seen that before. Because if something happens, you know, Mike Pence is our guy.
Should he be warming up in the bullpen right now?
I think he should. I think there's definitely, Trump's going to argue that this is, and he has argued that this is nothing. It's just Trump being Trump. But the words that we're hearing where he says, I love it. I mean, if you look at the technical definition of election fraud and conspiracy to work with a foreign government, to obtain information illegally from a foreign government, this meets that definition. So I think while collusion might not be, the appropriate term, I think conspiracy is. And I definitely think, Robert Mueller, the special counsel, is going to run with this. I think that there's plenty of evidence here to at least support a conspiracy charge.
That's it for today's show. We want to thank all of our guests. Again, we mourn the loss of Fade breaking up after 3 years.
Kevin's band.
Kevin will find a new band. I'm confident.
I'm going to go for a Kevin and the title.
Yeah, put your name in the title next
time.
I've never
been in the band.
Do it like that. Like Daughtry.
Kevin and his guitar meat. That's brilliant.
That's
guitar
pretty good.
Guitar
meat. Like it's an army of guitars.
Oh, I like that.
Not guitar meat.
Guitar meat. Like.
That's pretty good.
That's excellent.
Might want to noodle with that a little longer.
Noodle
Kevin
like
and the noodles.
Lick. Kevin and the noodle. Don't like
think
it.
Think about it. Just think about it. All right. Tomorrow's show should be okay.
Is it Friday tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Friday.
Wow. How did this week go so quickly?
It flew by. It absolutely flew by. All right. Thanks, everybody. We're so glad you listened, and we're looking forward to tomorrow's show. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.